Welcome to Technology Espresso Cafe Radio. After 7 years, over 700 episodes, and over 70,000 listeners, we continue to stay nimble and agile. We want to engage our young people, parents, and educators to introduce STEM early by leveraging our curriculum based on Smart Sarah, Perceptive PJ, and their friends and family that promote diversity and inclusion. We also want to connect with our college and young professionals pursuing careers, especially in the field we know best, technology and IT. We also weave in tips related to the agile mindset and being agile to continue to promote a way of life that helps us learn to stay flexible, relevant, and ahead of the game in technology. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your technology and educational experience. And remember to listen, learn, leverage, and launch your dreams and reach your full potential.
Hello, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman here trying to find a few little slices of time to drop some nuggets and to just share with you this particular phase of my journey to help give you insight to so that you can relate it to your journey, even though everybody's journey is different. And I'm the first to say what worked for me may not work for you. So maybe some of your takeaways is that's not the approach or path that's necessarily right for you. But it's still good to listen, to hear people's and to even just to empathize with other people's journey and their process. Because sometimes those nuggets get embedded in you and you may not use them right at this moment and it may not even be, you know, valuable or appropriate, but along the line you pull from that. And that's probably a key part of my message today is that along the way in talking and working and exposing myself, making sure that I was exposed to different types of people who were going about things in different ways and never discounting and furthermore, never disconnecting from them. And what I'm finding is that I'm making this shift, and the shift that I'm talking about is when you're going from corporate America, being a corporate player, to being a founder, a business owner, a brand owner, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call it, all of those, all rolled into one, making the shift. It's almost like having multiple personality disorder, if you want to call it a disorder. You could also call it a gift. A gift to be able to shape shift. And maybe that's what people don't understand is for you to be able to understand that there is a different language, there's even a different mindset, a different mentality when you're in corporate versus when you're in the entrepreneur world. But not to say that one is bad and one is good and vice versa, but instead finding where there are those aspects of corporate America that we need to take with us. There are certain takeaways. Corporate America was a great opportunity for me to hone certain skills. We can talk about whether it's presentation, selling my ideals, pitching my ideals, being taken seriously. On the other hand, when I think about as an entrepreneur is kind of that being scrappy and kind of, even some people even call the street smarts. I know I worked with someone very closely that even in corporate America, she says, now this is when I use my street smarts and I apply it in corporate America. So they cross-pollinate, and the people that really kind of crush it and really break through know when to use those crossover talents. So I'm going to give them a title if no one else is giving them a title. But understanding crossover talent and crossover skills and when and how to use them. And so along, and I'll be expanding this as I go through this kind of download and this journaling, you know, through the podcast of even my kind of dual processing that I've done and started way back in high school. When I got to after junior high, I started going to a private school, to a private Catholic school, and that world was very different. I stayed in what a lot of people may know me from, Jefferson Township in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. And there was the local kids that I got to know in seventh and eighth grade. And then prior to seventh and eighth grade, I was in the military. So even that had a lot to do with my ability to, when we moved around, meeting new people, making that adjustment, knowing, you know, when I had to do that pivot or that shift and see old friends and let them go and then embrace new friends. At the same time, being in the on a military base, I had a lot of international friends. Not, the world wasn't just black and white for me. It was multicultural. And so relating to a lot of different cultures. We lived in the New York, upstate New York. So I learned a lot about indigenous people, Native Americans. And so all of that, even early exposure, which again, as a lot of you know, everything that I credit to my parents, that exposure they gave me. Then as I went into, as I was saying, high school, and 5 days a week, you know, I was going across town to the private school and getting exposed to college prep, and I could see these are the people that I'm going to be competing with in the corporate world. And so I need to, in some way, study and understand their language, their way of thinking. And I think that very much helped me when I went to college and then when I got into my career. But at the same time, I had no doubt the people that I saw on the weekends when I went to the football games, because I always went to the Jefferson football games, Jefferson basketball games, wore their colors, saw their events. And I still have people today that swear that I graduated from Jefferson because I was right there when the social opportunity allowed. But all of that to say is being true to who I was, and who part of who I am is being the ability to shift in different environments. And I've always, there's always part of me that's probably an analyst. Even though I was attending school, even though I was attending the social events, I still was having somewhat of a out-of-body experience where I was studying the whole dynamics, the whole inner workings, what was happening, and understanding and dissecting the why. That's the analyst in me. And that's why you all know, and within the computer science umbrella, I gravitate heavily toward the business analysis, process improvement, that type of thing. But that is one of my reusable skills. When I'm looking at writing a book, I deep dive into, well, what is this process? I expose myself to publishers and publishing companies and self-publishing, and I go to the National Book Expo and fully understand how the whole inner workings work. And then that lets me hone into, okay, how do I use that knowledge with my both, whether you call it book smart and street smart, to bring those two together to find my niche and how I can find my place in that world. And then now taking that book and then building a curriculum. I became a student of understanding how curriculums and how students work and what they were reacting to, and very much what they weren't reacting to, what they didn't like, and found, well, what's the opposite of that? And there I found that unique niche from a curriculum into then making sure it got to the people that most needed it, that it's intended for, getting that exposure. And from there, God, and I have to give full credit, God opened not just a window, but a door for me to have this store that I now have, this storefront. And even studying and understanding the retail versus a showroom, and knowing and understanding that this place is a showroom, kind of a incubator and a launch pad for people to see this brand, but then for this brand to take on a whole nother life. That space that I'm occupying right now, which is probably less than 400 square feet, is not the end. It is the beginning of further steps. And I'm right now in the process of studying the unique thing and understanding that I'm in a building that houses a lot of conferences where different industries come in to market and sell their products. So this is like a master class in understanding everything from visual to display to how they package things, how they attract the people to place those wholesale orders and then resell the products. So understanding and all, you know, stepping out, having that ability to understand and know that the more you know, the more there is to know. And when you step into different aspects and different environments, you need to study that. Don't take for granted that because you're there, you know, just like the store, I can't take for granted or be so egotistical. I build it. I fling open my doors. It's going to sell. It's going to sell itself. It's not. And that's probably one of the key things, is that there are so many creative people out there, so many people with great ideas. And even if they get to the point where they get to the manufacturing or the production piece, the one thing that I hear over and over is, I'm not marketing. I'm not sales. In the beginning, you're not hiring and don't have a sales department at your disposal. And so that's where the street smarts really come into play. How to do, because for me, street smarts, not saying it in a derogatory way whatsoever, street smarts means making something out of nothing. And, you know, sometimes just knowing or making the most out of what you have, however little that is. And so that is where you've got to be mentally resourceful. And part of being resourceful in how I approach that, and again, some of this you can find in college textbooks. They've got a name for it, and you know, they've got a formula written out for it. But some people and this is where street smarts and that college education overlap. Street smarts is just people who have instinctively react to their environment or something that is lacking, you know, out of necessity. But people who are at that level, they figure out their own brand and flavor of marketing. And one of the key takeaways, and sometimes people, you know, that think, you know, that they, through formal education, know how things work and in some ways invest a lot of that into trying to create the perfect product. But even the perfect product has to be branded and sold. You know, even if we think about the iPhone, the Apple phone, so on and so forth, it might have been amazing in and of itself. But trust, the reason why so many people have that Apple, that iPhone, was the branding that they put around it. And what they did was they made it a movement. They were that was the early stages, especially in technology, where you not just talked about your brand, but you made it a movement. And now so many brands follow that formula. Now you can find it in the textbook. But someone first instinctively said, you know what? It's not just about selling a phone. And a lot of you know, Apple is a lifestyle. And people are passionate about their Apple. You know, they won't use anything but. And just to hone in on my point about how Apple made this about a lifestyle, as I set up my store, where we went back to one of the square products that we had, and it used an Apple pad, and it's the setup for our cash register. And in doing so, we were having an issue with the iPad. So we went to the Apple store. I have not been to the Apple store in a long time, probably even a year or two, even before the pandemic. So it's been a good 4 years or so. That's how old this iPad is. So of course they kind of chuckled when they saw it, because they're constantly coming out with new things, and true Apple believers are going to go with the latest and greatest as soon as it comes out. But I say all that to say, especially if you're in the Atlanta area, their store is a two-story storefront. It takes up the whole front of the Lenox Mall, is the one that we went to. And you walk in it, and you immediately know it's an experience. You see people sitting and perched there in a way that you know they're going to be there for hours and have been there for hours, and they're happy to be there. It's like almost a Starbucks atmosphere. So I say all that to say,